Welcome in to the inaugural brand new show from right here at Impact Media. This one's called Strong Style. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. For those who don't know who I am the main one behind everything Impact Media. We do all kinds of other different shows. Board Check, our hockey show. Sports Club, our all sports show. We do The Game Plan, which is our college football show. But after all these years of me doing these shows, video shows, YouTube, on-demand audio like we're doing now, after all this, it took this long for me to finally do a show about one of the things I can talk for days about. And I can talk for days about many things, but for a lot of people that do know me well, they know that two of my favorite sports, hockey and, of course, pro wrestling. This show will all be about pro wrestling. It's one of the things still going right now. With you know, scary times out there with the COVID-19. But, you know, wanted to come on, have a little bit of fun. The last couple episodes of Sports Club, we talked about wrestling and in the NFL. And I really felt like I wanted to split these so that they were special on their own. So, welcome to episode one of Strong Style. I'm going to just kind of go over this week's wrestling show since the last time we talked wrestling, if you caught the other shows. So today we're going to end up starting off with Raw from Monday. We'll be talking Impact Wrestling from Tuesday, NXT and AEW that were Wednesday. Of course, SmackDown is going to happen here in a few minutes, so we will talk about it on the next episode. But I'm going to do my best. And then when we get to the end, I've kind of got some different categories where I'm just kind of tell you some things to watch for and the things that I saw, maybe the star performers or things I just really was kind of like, I'm not sure what exactly I'm watching here. But truth be told, a little bit about me. I've been a pro wrestling fan since I was probably 6 months old. That's probably, it's hard to remember back that far, but I'm pretty sure that I've been watching at least that long because my dad told me so. He was a pretty avid watcher. I turned into the bigger watcher of the family. I've always loved it. It was like if your favorite superheroes were on TV more often and they seem more accessible. You know, it's not like you can run out to your local bank and meet, or your local rec center, I guess, and see Superman, where, you know, you could see John Cena at a car dealership. It, I don't know, it just seemed that way, and maybe that was just me kind of nerding out, because this is definitely something I can nerd out on. I did train. It's a long story. One day if I ever write a book, I'll put it in there, but I did help put on some local shows, got in with some really great people around this general area, and for people who don't know, we are outside the greater Atlanta metro area is where we do our shows, so outside this general area, helped put on some shows for the better part of 2 years. Had a lot of fun. I'm really good at putting a ring together. But it's fun to be able to put on shows and mass entertain people, which is hopefully what I'm going to do here. So, as the song says, sit back, relax, don't give yourself a heart attack. Here we go. Strong Style. Let's start with Raw. It starts off with Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar talking. Brock Lesnar is going to have a WrestleMania match with Drew McIntyre. I very much am looking forward to this. They're really starting to push Drew McIntyre. Like I said, I'm gonna use terms that sometimes are not really insider terms, but people that know a lot about it. If there's ever something I say that you're not sure of, feel free to look it up. Feel free to send us a message here on the show. I will do my best to try to explain it, and I will go a little in-depth, kind of behind the curtain on the way I talk about certain things. So, kind of like spoiler alert, but at this point, if you haven't seen it this week, you're better off just waiting until next week to jump back into it, unless you want to go back and watch it. But this is Drew McIntyre's second time into the company. He had to go away to establish himself a little more. He kind of a rough start. He was the chosen one for a while, and he had some issues. including some visa issues. But he's back. They're really wanting to strap a rocket to him and really push him to the top. I don't know who they potentially would like to win that, Brock or him. But either way, Brock came out there. Heyman does all the talking. Heyman is 100% fantastic. He knows what to do. Even empty arena, he knows how to pull the strings and the emotions. Then they decided to show a replay of Royal Rumble 2015, where John Cena and Seth Rollins, who was the Money in the Bank winner at that point, for people who don't know Money in the Bank, that is a ladder match where the prize that you have to climb up the ladder and get after you incapacitate your opponents is a briefcase with a contract saying for the next calendar year, you can cash in anytime you want. That's anytime. That's right after a match. That's in the middle of a match. Whatever you want to call your shot for a world title match of your choosing. Kind of like winning the Royal Rumble, but Royal Rumble, it's automatic WrestleMania. But Seth Rollins is money in the bank at this point. Brock Lesnar was your champion. He was the third man in this match. Really good match. Brock gets incapacitated during it's 2015. You guys have either seen it or go back and watch it. Brock went. He gets incapacitated, then hops up, goes through a big just rush of physicality, ends up winning the match. It was cool to see Jamie Noble and Joey Mercury in this, which were the little underlings for Seth Rollins at this point. Obviously, now he's got the Authors of Pain and, gosh, I forgot the little Australian guy's name I'm a big fan of. But anyway, it's cool to see Jamie Noble and Joey Mercury. I grew up watching those guys too. But they showed the replay of that. They took up a bulk of the early part of the show. They're doing things differently now, these empty arena things. It's hard to have 3 hours of entertainment when you're not sure exactly how much talent you'll be able to fly in. After this, they did an Undertaker AJ Styles promo recap. And then the three of them came out. They showed a recap of the Edge promo where him and Randy Orton are probably going to face at WrestleMania. I'm gonna just hop to the match though, because we had Andrade and Angel Garza, who is a Both of them are fantastic guys. Andrade is actually, I believe, the U.S. champion. And of course, Zelina Vega, their manager, came out. They did a little bit of a promo, and then they had a match with Cedric Alexander, who is, I believe, from the Atlanta area, and Ricochet, who lit the world on fire a couple years ago. The guy is just so innovative and so fantastically good. They had a good match though, and Andrade and Angel Garza ended up with the win, as they should have. They are establishing themselves as a pretty good little trio. During this match, the Street Profits, who are the Raw Tag Team Champions, actually come out. They do a little bit of commentary. They were impressed by both teams, as they should be. I'm not big on the Street Profits. I get their gimmick. They're really good at running their mouth. They're pretty decent performers. They'll eventually grow on me, but for now, it's not my thing. The Street Profits actually have a match after this one where they face Shane Thorne and Brendan Vink, who had a big week because they not only got to do that, but we'll talk about them a little bit later on. They're on another show. Of course, Street Profits end up with the win there, but Shane and Brendan actually look pretty solid in their parts of the match. Then they showed a clip of R-Truth and Riddick Moss in a neighborhood. Riddick Moss was the 24-hour or 24/7 champion. This is a championship where you could literally defend it anywhere unless it's otherwise specified. And Riddick Moss, former NFL player, looks pretty good. There's a lot of NFL talent that could be headed that way soon. We know about Gronk. Mojo played football. King Corbin. There's a bunch of them, but Riddick Moss, a good-looking kid, knows a lot about the ring, and he's got a pretty good style. I like that, and he's a guy we could see down the road doing some pretty cool things. But R-Truth was hiding in the trunk of a car. Referee was driving the car. Riddick Moss saw it, stopped the referee, said, "Get out of the car," which actually helped R-Truth. R-Truth pops out of the trunk, rolls him up. There's a schoolboy, I believe, and R-Truth is now the 24/7 champion once again for about the 30th time. It's just kind of their, let's say it's kind of their comic relief of the show, is the various ways this thing can change hands, multiple people used, a good chance to get people on there when they need to. They did a Shayna Baszler interview to which Becky Lynch come down and attacked her with a chair. This rivalry is really going to heat up. I like Lynch, and I like a lot of stuff she did with the Man campaign and that kind of stuff. She is the Raw Women's Champion. But if you've never seen Shayna Baszler, former MMA standout, just a really fluid, smooth, brutal-looking style, like female Brock Lesnar, but more hold-related than flashy move-related. They're working towards a WrestleMania thing that's going to be fantastic. WrestleMania in what? I think next weekend. I might just have to get the network and try to figure that one out. But after that, we get another squash match featuring Aleister Black. I hate squash matches. Squash match, for people who don't know, is when you take a person you are trying to debut or trying to boost up, get people to really notice the cool things they're doing, and they go against somebody who probably was selling insurance earlier in the day. I mean, just it's no. I don't mean any big offense to the person getting squashed. It's just talent level, they're not in the same league, and they usually don't get to get any of their moves in or anything that makes them look cool. They usually get dropped pretty quickly, and then you move on. Well, Leon Ruff was said, "Guy, my only comment of this match was blah, squash." And they keep doing that with Aleister Black, and it gets dumb. You show me that he can beat all the big guys, but he needs a solid match, even if he doesn't win it, against somebody like The Miz or somebody that's gonna help him look good, even if he doesn't win. Him and man, I really don't know. I can't think of somebody good because they put him against a couple people and all he did was squash them, and it didn't make squash matches don't make anybody look good. The late Eddie Guerrero said that like his dad or somebody told him that, and so he always went out of his way to make sure that even if they booked one that way, he would let the other guy get some stuff in because it wasn't right. We had Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins come out, and Kevin is always great on the microphone. Seth needs a little bit of work, even though he's a top guy. It just I don't know, it just didn't come out right. The kind of stuff he was saying, gotta do better, Seth. Gotta do better. Kevin is good on his feet. And then that left us to the main event, which was Charlotte versus Asuka. Charlotte was the champion at this point. This was a WrestleMania 2018 replay. This was where Asuka coming in was undefeated for like 350 days or something like that, and Charlotte stopped the streak. At the time, that totally made sense. And then we ended with Randy Orton's response to Edge about a last man standing match. Pretty much he said, "Hell yeah, let's do it. Works for me." That moved us on to Tuesday, where Impact Wrestling, for those who might have followed before, is TNA Wrestling. They've changed a few things up here and there. My overall view of them is their writing and their stories need a little bit of help because, man, they've got some top-tier talent. They've got some middle-of-the-pack guys that are really good. They've got some guys and girls, and they've got a solid women's division. They've got the talent over there, even the smaller people over there. They got the talent. It's just I don't like the way they're putting them together. But that's my opinion. And I guess they're not that concerned with my opinion because they don't ask me for my opinion. But that's totally cool because I will give you my opinion now. This started off, we had Willie Mack. So gifted for a guy who's probably, he's easily 300. That guy can flip and fly with anybody. But it was a big multi-man match, I believe, where somebody got a future, or you become the number one contender for the X Division. The X Division used to be the light heavyweight belt in Impact Wrestling. Now it is kind of a, it's almost more like their secondary title, like a US title or an Intercontinental, if we're thinking WWE, that kind of thing. Not the top, but like the right under the top. Usually somebody they're trying to put the rocket on and send them to the top. But it was Willie Mack. It was Chris Bay, who is recently debuted there. A pretty good guy from the indie scene. AC Romero, talk about a big guy who can move. With their partnership with AAA in Mexico, they were able to get AC. AC is very good. You had Rohit Raju, really good Indian wrestler. You had Daga, who they also have access to because of AAA. He is a Mexican machine. You had Jake Crist from the Crist brothers. Him and his brother Dave are a really good tag team. But Jake is a solid singles competitor. You had Cousin Jake, who, along with Cody Deaner, is part of the Deaners. Cousin Jake, very good, solid wrestler as well. And then Trey from the Rascals, I believe it's the tag team he is a part of. It was a good spot fest. And once again, for people who don't know, a spot fest is where they trade moves back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and they all get to show the cool stuff they can do. It works out because in a way, it's kind of how the name of this show happened. Strong Style is what they kind of nicknamed the style that they do in New Japan Pro Wrestling and All Japan and the Japanese wrestling there. In that, it's a very physical style. Both wrestlers go back and forth and back and forth in order to tell the story that way. And that's basically what happened here. It was a good spot fest. Everybody got to show their cool moves, and everybody did some really good things. But Willie Mack ends up winning this one, so he will be the number one contender for the X Division. At one point, he was part of a really cool tag team, but that guy kept hurting his legs, so I don't even know if he's still with the company. But Willie Mack with the victory there, and then and then backstage you get Dalton, who is the bigger bruiser of the four-man tandem that is the Crist brothers. It is Sami Callihan who is the leader. And Dalton is the big enforcer. Well, they're backstage. They have a little bit of an exchange there. Then we get Moose versus Chase Stevens. Chase Stevens used to be a part of the company way back when they were TNA, him and Andy. Gosh, Chase Stevens and Andy. Can't think of Andy's last name anymore. But they were a pretty good tag team. I've seen a lot of these guys live, but Chase is super. It ended up. The returning of Chase Stevens was very short-lived. It was a squash match for Moose. Moose is he's a former, I believe, Dallas Cowboys offensive lineman. He chose wrestling. He was in Ring of Honor, which we will talk about next week because they did not have a show this weekend because of some scheduling things. They didn't show it on TV. We'll put it that way. It wasn't their fault. Another game bled into it. But Moose had the opportunity to go to WWE or Impact Wrestling or go a lot of places. He didn't like the schedule of WWE, which is very demanding, 4 or 5 days a week. So he decided to go with the lesser Impact Wrestling, a little more open schedule. I think he's starting to cap out. He's got to start working with some more people to expand the way he wrestles. He's becoming very predictive. And to be such a big, gifted, athletic specimen, it gets lost a lot. But after the squash, he continued to beat up on Chase until kind of TNA mascot. He was part of the it was a the create a character that you start with on the TNA video game from years ago called Suicide. He's a masked guy in a cool little outfit. But Suicide returned and kind of chased Moose off. Suicide has been played by many different people over the years, including Chris Daniels and some others. I have no idea who it is at this point. We kind of get Rosemary and Raven at a bar. Rosemary is a really, really cool character. I like the way she plays up the kind of demon. She paints her face, paints some kind of Halloween type look. But she's a really, really good worker. And if we ever had her on one day, maybe there's some really cool stuff that happened in her career, and some really kind of crappy. Like, she got a raw end of a deal that she really had nothing to do with, and it caused a rift with multiple companies at the time. But I don't know. When they're not using the women, they do these bizarre little sci-fi random backstage things. And even if you see them, you're like, what did I just see? That's just kind of how that goes. But after that, Willie Mack, Ace Austin, and Reno Scum, and even Johnny Swinger all kind of have this little interview thing in the back where they just all kind of interrupt each other. They try to recruit each other, and it's time waster. You had Dez and Wentz, who are the other two rascals. I mentioned earlier about Trey. They went against Reno Scum. It was a very short match, but the Rascals look pretty good. They're pretty fluid. They're kind of some flip and flyer type guys. But Reno Scum ended up with the victory. They are associated with Ace Austin. They're a cool little trio that he kind of needed some backup for some of the stories he was doing. I believe he's the X Division champion. So him and Willie Mack will have a match somewhere down the line. They did a flashback every episode of Impact Wrestling. And no affiliation between me and them. My name has nothing to do with them, and theirs has nothing to do with me. It just we happen to share the same word. Where was that? They did a flashback. It was Team 3D, or the Dudley Boys, as a lot of people know them, versus LAX, with Johnny Devine. Was out there with Team 3D. LAX had Hector Guerrero, who is Eddie Guerrero's older one of his older brothers. I've met Hector. He's fantastic, super awesome dude. LAX ended up getting the victory there. Like I said, it's a flashback. I don't understand why they do a flashback match every week, but they do. They showed counterculture, I think is what they're calling themselves, or cancel culture, which is Joey Ryan, who had this really cool sleazy gimmick that he's not doing anymore for some reason. And Rob Van Dam, who there was always a thing about nobody gets higher than Rob Van Dam. I 100% agree with that. And it's not because of his jumping ability and his wife, who is a former porn star, may still be a porn star. I met his former wife, and she was great. I don't know this lady. But they're kind of saying, don't judge them by stereotypes. They're trying to go very right to censorish for people who remember the Attitude Era, and it's not working. I don't know. It's the bathroom break of the show. If you need to use the bathroom, wait till one of them come out. Go for it. And I'm a big Joey Ryan fan. And yeah, his sleaze gimmick was getting a little too racy, in my opinion. But he could have dialed it back and continue. He's a fantastic worker inside the ring. But they kind of showed them for a second. Then we had a match where it was it, not Dalton from earlier, but Fulton is his name. Fulton and Dave Crist, the other brother. I told you there's Jake Crist and Dave Crist. But it was those two versus Rhino. And the returning Sabu with the Super Genie, which I believe is his wife. can't remember exactly, but super genie. She kind of looks like a bigger version of Barbara Eden back from My Dream of Genie. That's what she looks like. And she aids him when necessary. She's a pretty cool little sidekick, really. But Rhino and Sabu get the win there. Then we get to the main event, which is Taya Valkyrie, the wife of Johnny Mundo, Johnny Nitro, John Morrison, whatever you want to call him. But she's pretty good. And Michael Elgin, they took on Eddie Edwards and the World Heavyweight Champion. I did not stutter. World Heavyweight Champion. This is how Impact Wrestling is being a little edgy. The World Champion, World Heavyweight Champion is Tessa Blanchard, the daughter of Tully Blanchard, the stepdaughter of Magnum TA, for all the throwback guys. But she's the world champion. She's fair and square. It wasn't gimmicky. She didn't win a crazy stipulation match. No, she straight up won the match, and she defended it a couple times. And in all honesty, she can hang with a lot of guys. She's better than a lot of guys. That's why I really don't have a problem with her as champ. But her and Eddie Edwards come up a little short in this one. Michael Elgin and Taya Valkyrie with the win there. It moves us to NXT. NXT used to be kind of the AAA of WWE. They run it as a third brand now because talent level. Yeah, they're not established enough to be household names like a lot of the Raw and SmackDown roster. But can a lot of these NXT people, guys and girls, hang and even supersede some of the other ones? Absolutely. But Austin Theory, who is from around the Atlanta area here, took on Tyler Breeze. Tyler Breeze got the victory there. I like Tyler Breeze. I wish they'd let him grow his hair back out, but him and Fandango are a really cool tag team. I like the way they do things. Killian Dane came out, and he went against Tahuti Miles. And Killian Dane is a big bear. And as JBL says, you don't poke the bear because you might wake him up. You wake up Killian Dane, my goodness, that guy is a beast. Big, big beast. But he gets the win there. Cameron Grimes took on Tony Nese. Cameron Grimes ends up with the victory there. I like Cameron. He was in TNA for a while, TNA Impact Wrestling. And I think Gregory Helms, a.k.a. the Hurricane, kind of brought him in. He's from around that area, and I think he may have trained him even. And the guy's good. He's big enough to be able to take on bigger people, like the heavyweights, but he can jump and do a lot of aerial things to keep up with even the high flyers. So it's a good mix. They gave him a decent gimmick to run with. We can see some good things out of Cameron. But he wins that one. There was a Aaliyah was supposed to take on Io Shirai, but she got attacked and was holding her knee, so instead they sent out Xia Li. Or no, Xia Li was supposed to come out, and they ended up, and she was attacked in the back. So they sent out Io Shirai, and she ends up getting the victory over Aaliyah. I don't really like Aaliyah. I think she needs to get polished up a little more, kind of bone up on her skills a little more. She felt very green, which is a way to say very new. Like, she needs more practice. That would be a good way to say it. Need more practice. It was kind of an interesting promo by Adam Cole Bebe. That's just what you say when you say Adam Cole. It's because he always says Adam Cole and everybody says Bebe. He's been doing it for years. It's this cool calling card. But he does this promo where he's basically in his backyard because palm trees, there's a fence. He's basically in his backyard. But it was really cool. He is the champion in NXT right now. And, he said his usual things. Then they had a pretty cool tag match. Their tag division down there is really, really cool. Their women's division is fantastic. Their tag division, I really like too. They had Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, who are a good established tag team. They do a lot of tandem things, play off each other. They went against Shane Thorne and Brendan Vink. Remember, people who took on the Street Profits. Street Profits were in NXT not that long ago, so they know each other a little bit. But Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch end up with the victory in that one. Then we had a qualifying match for a big multi-woman match coming up soon. Candice LeRae and Caden Carter. Candice ended up with the victory there. Candice LeRae, I believe, used to be the tag team partner of Joey Ryan when they were on the indie circuit. That is a guy and girl tag team. They took on other girls. They took on other tandems. Good team. You know, they're a really, really good, solid team. I like it. But she ends up getting the victory there. You had Matt Riddle, who I don't get Matt Riddle. Is he super athletic? Yes. Is he super talented? Yes. Does he wrestle barefooted? Yes. He kind of does this kind of surfer thing. I don't know if he's just a Cali guy like that, but kind of long hair, hat on backwards, kind of skater surfer, kind of in his attire and things like that. Does a lot of kicks. He's a former MMA guy. I don't get it. I don't know how that's going to transition to him playing a bigger role in the wrestling community. And maybe somebody knows more than me, but as far as that goes, I don't know. But he took on Roderick Strong, who is part of the Undisputed Era, with Adam Cole, Bebe. I just forgot the other two. It is Kyle O'Reilly and crap, my favorite one. I can't Fish. Can't think of his first name. But they all come through the indies and all come through Ring of Honor at the same time. And is it Bobby Fish? Crap, that's gonna bug me now. But actually Matt Riddle ends up with a victory there, which shouldn't sound that surprising because they really like to push him, really like to have him look good all the time, and I don't know what they're gonna do with that. Like I said, just not really a place it can go. But Triple H addressed the Ciampa, Gargano, like the end of the show. The two of them have fought all over the place. They came into NXT about the same time. They one time. It's this whole drawn out story that's gonna be at WrestleMania now, and they really couldn't almost get along while they were in between, or why Triple H was in between them. But he said, you're not going to do it tonight or I'm going to call the whole thing off. But before they could do that, everything goes off as we see a video promo for Killer Cross, who has been signed. A lot of people know who Killer Cross is. He was in Impact Wrestling late last year. He's definitely a really, really good, solid performer, and I think he'll do well in NXT and maybe beyond. The move is to AEW. AEW, who last week was the only show to have a live audience, so to say, because if the wrestlers weren't involved in the matches, they were sitting at ringside. Tonight, instead of doing that, they had four or five of them in some mystery box booth somewhere up in the arena. It was kind of weird, kind of revolving door of people that were in there. But we open up with Tony Schiavone, who has Cody Rhodes and Kenny Omega, and they are doing commentary to start with. Kind of a cool, interesting thing. Both of them, Kenny Omega is one of my favorite talents on the planet. I watch him a lot in New Japan. I've seen him some in Ring of Honor, but he really, really got a foothold and really built himself up in New Japan. But we start there where Tony Schiavone says, yeah, Excalibur and Jim Ross and Taz, who are the normal announcers that we get each and every week, did not make the trip. I think they're just giving them a week off because of travel and all that kind of thing. But so we're going to get Tony and kind of a revolving door of different people at that point. To which, at one point, Cody's music plays and he says, "Well, I got a match. I'll be back." So we get Kenny Omega and Shibani doing commentary for that. Cody took on Jimmy Havoc, who is, I believe, he's from England. But cool look, good worker. Actually, has, I call it earning potential, has potential to do some pretty good things. He had a really solid match with Cody, to which Cody ended up getting the victory with the figure four, I believe. And then Jake Roberts, who is kind of got a thing against Cody. I don't know really what it is, because honestly, I fast forward through those parts. I don't listen to a lot of the talk interviews so much, because usually right after they just summarize whatever they just said. But Lance Archer is being managed by him, and he is a big, awesome performer as well. Looks like him and Cody are going to get into a thing here soon. Darby Allin, who comes out on a skateboard, has half his face painted, kind of Nightmare Before Christmas-ish. Real skinny guy, but he had that guy super talented. He went against Kip Sabian, who's another solid young talent they have over there, and his girlfriend slash manager Penelope Ford, who also wrestles over there. We talked about her last week. Darby Allin ends up with the victory, as we thought there. But Kip didn't look bad. Kip got some good stuff in. Then we got Jake Hager, aka Jack Swagger, for people of WWE lore. But Jake Hager is his real name. He does a lot of MMA, and he also still wrestles, and he's part of Chris Jericho's faction group in this one. But he took on Chico Adams. This was kind of a squash. But then Moxley, aka Dean Ambrose for WWE people, John Moxley kind of came out and ran him off. But Jake Hager, man, he is super, super talented. He does that Oklahoma roll better than anybody. And if you haven't, AEW is one of the more solid shows and companies out right now. That would be, without New Japan being on recently, I would or Lucha Underground, I would definitely say AEW on Wednesday nights on TNT is something you should be tuning into. Now, I could make a case for Raw, for SmackDown, even for Impact Wrestling, who I still think between them and Ring of Honor are probably the lower ends, just because the other ones are really cooking right now. It's not that they're lesser companies, in my opinion. But even NXT, I could make good cases there. But if you good, solid, like AEW is like early WCW when it was on TBS Superstation, if you had an influx of innovative new talent. That's kind of where I see this company right now. But let's see. Brody Lee, also known as Luke Harper when he was with the Wyatt family, but Brody Lee is the leader of the Dark Order. They did some videos where he was eating a steak. He yelled at underlings. It's going to kind of set up for kind of. I like him leading that faction because before then it was a bunch of unknown. I didn't know who and those people were. I don't think anybody else really did. There's a couple people here and there I might have heard of, and one that I really did, but it's, I don't know, the Dark Order is going to be, they're kind of doing an NWO type thing where you're either with us or against us, and then, but they do it, they wear masks, they kind of do, find purpose in your life, join the Dark Order. It could go somewhere. With Brody Lee in charge, it could definitely go somewhere. QT Marshall took on Brody Lee. QT Marshall is another good, solid performer. He is great friends with Cody Rhodes. Cody did the commentary during this as well, where Brody Lee Had a good match, and then he calls himself the Exalted One. But Brody Lee, still as impressive as he was when he was Luke Harper. He was one of my dad's favorites over there. He's like, he goes, that Luke Harper guy just gets it. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to do it, when to do it. Brody Lee, very much same boat. Great match with QT Marshall, but he has solid matches. But that moved us on to the main event. And the main event was Sammy Guevara, who is the young hotshot upstart part of the Jericho faction. It also includes the new LAX. But it's a good faction. They're taking on some cool people. They're doing some things. But it was Sammy Guevara who took on Kenny Omega for the AAA Mega Championship. He is the champion in AAA in Mexico. And this was a good match because Kenny helps make his opponent look really good. He plays off his opponent really well. And Sammy Guevara is getting to where he's doing the same. He's starting to have solid matches. He's starting to really put some good stuff together. He stopped being as flashy and started being more fluid. But Kenny Omega retains his title here. For one, I don't think AAA wanted to necessarily have their title lost on somebody else's show. But also, Kenny is better than Sammy, and there was no real outside interference or anything to help Sammy, so Kenny gets the victory there. I'm gonna rank these shows. That's one thing I'm gonna do. I'm gonna rank them. So as of this week, we're gonna go lowest to highest. I gotta go so far. Impact Wrestling, I would say. I would say at that point, Raw. I would say NXT, and then your grand champion for the week, AEW, because it was a solid 2 hours of just great entertainment, and they didn't show a lot of videos. They didn't waste our time with a lot of interviews and talk, and I appreciated that. Now, if you're into that kind of stuff, then hey, watch the other ones. I'm gonna watch all these, but that's the rankings for the week. I would say AEW the best. NXT was solid right behind it. Raw, because Raw was okay. It was definitely better than Impact Wrestling. Impact, hey, they're going strong. But the way they do things too is they record a month's worth of shows, 4 or 5 shows at a time, like on a Monday, Tuesday. They will tape a bunch and then show them that way. So we'll see here soon what they do because they're going to slowly be running out. Some things about AEW, I like that they are pushing and they have a lot of faith in Sammy Guevara, who is taking on big time opponents, big time names, and Darby Allin, who is doing the same. He is right in the middle of this Jericho feud. You get the Jericho Matt Hardy exchange at the end, where Jericho says, "I never liked you." Matt Hardy says, "I'm going to delete you," and it's really playing up. I think their pay per view is this weekend. I don't necessarily know that. I think it is this weekend. And check online about how to watch that because I honestly don't have the info in front of me. My apologies. But they had a promo battle. It was really good. It seemed like there was a lot of real information in there. It wasn't just a, I don't like you because of this made up thing, and I don't like you because of this made up thing. No, it very much, they were taking shots at each other to where I tend to believe they may not have liked each other somewhere down the road. Or they're okay taking shots at each other, which is, yeah. But here's the categories I got. Each week we're going to do the championest champion. That's the champion. If you have a belt, the champion that I felt acted more like a champion, had the more solid week, really performed as though they are one of the best of the best. We have kind of the rising star, the person I think you should keep your eyes on because I think some really special things are about to happen. Kind of the next guy up, the one that I think you should keep your eye on for the fact that I think they're going to elevate to a different level. Like in this case, I take a guy and a girl, next girl up too, that are in tag teams, but I feel like if they spawn off those teams or even while they're still in the team, I think they're going to be given bigger and better opportunities to show people how good they are. And then I got the what the hell moment. What the hell did I just watch? And that could be good or bad. It could be the oh my goodness, what the crap was that? That was great. Or it could be the what in the world, this was the best idea you come up with this week. Champion is champion. I got to give it to Kenny Omega because not only did he defend his title, he did it exceptional. And I got to give it to Andrade, even though it was in a tag match. Andrade, man, is him and Angel Garza. Keep your eye on those guys. Could rocket to the top. That's a big time wrestling term. They could shoot to the top. They can talk. They can perform. They have the flashiness. They have the momentum that they can run with. Watch those guys. But Andrade and Omega, champion is champions of the week. The rising, it's not a rising star, the rising that, you know, the steam, the stew, the whatever is rising to a boil. Shayna Baszler, watch her on the rise. I very much think she could beat Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. It would not shock me at all. In fact, I would be more surprised if Becky walks out as the champion. Although they could do a weird switcheroo where somehow Shayna wins and doesn't win the belt, but she's gonna be a star down the road. She doesn't even need her minions behind her. Next guy up, I give it to Cousin Jake. He's part of the Deaners along with Cody. Cousin Jake, big, strong, athletic kid. He gets a lot of multi-man matches, a lot of opportunistic things. Like, even though you don't think he could win a certain match, he's always there right there till the end. And like, he's a big, athletic, strong kid. Cousin Jake's my next guy up. My next girl up, Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross, big Nikki Cross fan. She is very unorthodox in everything from her look to her gimmick to her ring move set. Everything, and it is fantastic. She does her. She doesn't try to be anybody else. She does her better than anybody. And that's, I really think that somewhere down the road, if they decide to get behind her and push her, big time championship run, I think people can get behind her. She can also be a villain. But Nikki Cross, my next girl up. And my what the hell moment. And this would say negative, what the hell. Impact Wrestling with the Rosemary sci-fi stuff. At one point, she was trying things she's done, things they wrote for her to do in the past couple weeks. Tried to suck the soul out of somebody. She has disappeared from the screen, reappeared next to other characters, and not in like a backdoor, trapdoor type way. No, in like a I Dream of Jeannie top way for but and the stuff with Sue Young and just God is a cluster of just let them wrestle. That's great, fantastic. Sue Young, very good with what she does. Let them wrestle. Don't I don't what the hell? That's all I say. What the hell? Impact Wrestling. What the hell? But that's what you call a show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Inaugural episode of Strong Style. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. We're going to try to do this every Thursday or Friday. So I'm going to go watch SmackDown. I'm going to go throw the show up. I'm going to go watch SmackDown. And you know what? We'll see you guys next week. Deuces, goose. Go watch wrestling.